Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of Hebrews. We're in the 8th chapter. We spent quite a bit of time there in that 7th chapter and discussing the things of Melchizedek. Well, we're continuing on, and you'll see the first verse of the 8th chapter says this. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. Well, that's useful now, right? In other words, we've gone through some detail right here. And so now he's going to say, here's what the main point of this. This is why I was saying this. So the main point is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Whew, this is a profound thing right here. The whole point of this conclusion of this 8th chapter where he's been leading us to is that Jesus is a better high priest. He is the high priest of a better covenant. Remember what the whole thing with Hebrews is. Jesus is better. But there's some really curious things here that are brought to mind, which honestly we don't have time to chase in this format, but I just want to make you aware of it as we go through. Let me read this again. Now, the main point of what we've said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So the Most High God, the majesty in the heavens, the throne room, the Lord God is seated. And at the right hand, at the right seat, apparently there was an empty seat. The Lord Jesus has taken that seat. But he continues, verse 8. He's a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Notice how where the Most High God is called the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. And when you look in the Old Testament, what God told Moses to build, and I spent, dozens of chapters describing what was to build, then how it was built, and then the fact that they did build it. That is just a picture of the sanctuary, just a foreshadowing of the true tabernacle. And it's described here that that was pitched by man because God said, this is what I want you to do. But the one where the Lord is seated now, that the Lord is the one who pitched this. Now, verse 3, he gives some more explanation about all this. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. So he's saying, okay, you know, with the high priest, they brought gifts, they brought sacrifices. That's what was appointed by the law, and they did that. Well, in the same way, this high priest, apparently, speaking of the Lord Jesus, verse 4, now if he, that's the Lord, were on earth, he, Jesus, would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law. And so that's sort of echoing what we've seen of how Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. Actually, it gives some more insight into that. If Jesus had been on earth doing this, then he would have been of a different order. He would have been of the Aaron order. But he's saying since he's not on earth, and since he's not of that family, of that tribe, of that line, then he didn't do this. He would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law. Now, verse 5, who offer a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. And so these priests are just offering something that is foreshadowing. It's the shadow of the things that are in the heaven, a copy of the things, not the real things, but something that draws our attention to the real things. Just as, he continues, verse 5, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. And this is what God said to Moses. See, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountains. So here's the idea. Moses was told by God to build and construct and do certain things. And God warned him. He says, see to it that you build it according to the pattern that I showed you on the mountain. He said, I showed you. Now, immediately our mind goes, oh, Lord, what if I forget? How am I going to do this without remembering? That kind of thing. Well, there's a couple things going on here. Number one, I actually think that mankind was far, far sharper and smarter back then than we are now. I really do. I believe that honestly. But then also, if the Lord shows a pattern, if the Lord gives you a pattern, if you're faithful and obedient, your desire is to build it the way the Lord designed it, then he will bring it to your memory, okay? You're not going to forget it. So he says, make sure that you build all things. Make all things according to the pattern which was shown in the mountain. Verse 6, but now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry by as much as he is also the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Huh. So what is it that he brought? What is it that he offered? Well, he brought himself. He offered himself. What sacrifice was it? He offered himself. And he's obtained a more excellent ministry than the priest had. Because of this, he is the mediator of a better covenant. We've seen that already previously, that Jesus is the one that brought forth the better covenant, which has been enacted, and it's enacted on better promises. Now, it doesn't mean that the promises in the covenant that came before were a mistake. It doesn't mean that they were not supposed to be there. They were not supposed to be enacted. No, no. But it does mean that they are inferior to that which is better. Jesus is the minister and the mediator of a better covenant. His blood is better blood. And this has been enacted on better promises. Well, what are the better promises? Well, we'll get to that later on. But we've already seen a lot of this thing, the promises that the Lord has made in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the life eternal and believing on that is better than the old covenant. Let me read this one last verse. We'll be done. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 8. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for a second. So he's saying what we've seen already, that if the first covenant had been adequate in bringing forth to completion and fruition the righteousness of man, if that had been adequate for that, then there would have been no need for the second. But it was inadequate for that. It wasn't designed for that. It's described as being, if first covenant had been faultless, and you say, well, it had fault. Well, it had fault from the point of view that it only did what it did, okay? It didn't bring forth complete salvation. It just brought forth a covering of sin from year to year to year. But he's saying with Jesus is different. Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry than the old covenant. He's the mediator of a better covenant, better than the old covenant. And this was all enacted on better promises, okay? The total fruition of what God had planned to restore his creation to himself. Anyway, some amazing stuff. We'll continue pressing on this. I'll see you the next episode.